All right, so this is Kate and Lucia's podcast, Fusion Feasting.
Hello.
I'm Kate.
I'm Lucia. We're both seniors.
We are. We're going to be talking about, like, fusion food.
Yeah, we love food.
We do.
A lot.
God, food is good.
I feel like that's one of the first things we talked about when we met.
I don't remember what we talked about
when we met. No, I remember.
Tigres del Norte.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this person knows.
And then, yeah, no, I feel like it was one of the first things we talked about.
Probably. The only thing I remember telling you about was horses. Because we played Never Have I Ever, and you were like, never have I ever fallen off a horse. And I was like, no way, I have.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. So, our focus is going to be on, like, some of our favorite foods, but specifically foods that have been created out of, like, the combination of two or more cultures.
Yeah, and a lot of them are going to be results of colonization.
Yay!
So we're going to talk about that. Those episodes are going to be great.
Yeah.
But this one is a little bit more light than that. Not exactly happy.
Well, we could go into the colonialism part of it, but...
We could.
There's a lot more non-colonial history about.
Yeah. So, today is Tex-Mex. And we're going to be talking about just, like, the general history of it, but mostly we're going to be focusing on nachos. Nachos. Yeah.
This is gonna make me really, really hungry.
No. We don't have nachos.
Yeah.
We do have a car, though.
That is true. We do have a car.
Yeah. Okay, so, Lucia, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How did Tex-Mex come to be?
So, nowadays, most people think of Tex-Mex as, like, a white-ified
Mexican food, but that's not actually the case. I mean, it kind of is now, but when it was originally created, it was because it was created by people of Mexican descent in Texas. So they would use Texan ingredients to make Mexican-style food, essentially.
Yeah, because when I think about Tex-Mex, I do, you know, it does remind me more of, like, a Mexican restaurant that's, like, mm-hmm. owned and operated by white people.
Yeah.
You know, and they have, like, the birthday celebrations where someone comes out with, like, a fake mustache and a sombrero and mm-hmm. start, like, playing the guitar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, Tex-Mex.
Mm-hmm. But when it first started to be a thing, it was not called Tex-Mex. It was actually just called Mexican food in the U.S. So it first kind of became a thing, it became popularized in around the 1880s, and there was this group of women called the Chile Queens. And so they would sell chili con carne in San Antonio in these plazas, and people loved it. And so it kind of gained traction and became popularized. And then it kind of spread elsewhere, and other people took it up across the U.S.
Yeah, the chili thing is really cool because, like, I've never thought of chili as a Tex-Mex food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so...
I guess it's so, like, normalized in just all over the place, you know? Like,
yeah.
Oh, we're going to have a barbecue and we're going to make chili, you know? But you don't usually hear Americans go, oh, we're going to have a barbecue, so, you know? Barbecue. We're going to have a barbecue, so, you know, let's make tacos, mm-hmm. you know? Like, you know what sounds really good with this hot dog? Nachos. Mm-hmm. No, I don't really hear that as often as chili.
Yeah. But I think it was considered, like, people didn't give it second thought because it was Mexican flavors, and there wasn't a whole lot of, like, diversity with food. Food labels at that time, so they're just like, oh, it's Mexican food. But when you actually compare it to what Mexican food really is, there is a difference. And that distinction was made, like, public, I guess, in the 1970s with this chef named Diana Kennedy. And she wrote I think it was a recipe book, where she, like, outlined the differences between Mexican and Tex-Mex. And she kind of gave it that label.
Was she of Mexican descent?
No, I looked her up. She's British.
Well, they love doing stuff like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, whatever. But Tex-Mex was actually originally the abbreviation for the Texas and Mexican Railroad. And then that abbreviation was without the hyphen. But then Tex-Mex with the hyphen began to be used as a term for Texans of Mexican descent. But, I mean, the proper term for them is Tejanos. But then it started to become a label for Mexican-style food in the area, or, like, in the U.S.
So I was looking at specifically nachos, but just,
like, in general, and Tex-Mex is just, like, it's just Mexican food, but from the border, you know, yeah. Like, closer to the border. We're like, well, yeah, it wouldn't be Tex-Mex unless we hadn't kind of, you know, stolen Texas.
Yeah.
You know, it would just be Mexican food.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, yeah, borderland food is distinctly Mexican. We just eat it here.
Yeah.
And started putting, like, sour cream on it.
Yeah.
Which is what, that's like a, is that a,
is that,
who made sour cream?
I don't even know.
Was it Europeans? Just because, like, we had the cows.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like,
lactose.
Is that actually the same? Or was it, like, a new thing that was added to lactose?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's like, a completely different, like, research path. It's like,
totally.
Where sour cream came from. But, like, we threw, like, sour cream on it. Some people put sauerkraut on, like, Tex-Mex, which kind of unnerves me. I'm not a big sauerkraut guy myself, in general.
Yeah, sauerkraut is German.
Yeah. Sauerkraut. But, yeah. So then the Tex-Mex food kind of got, like, absorbed into what Americans think is American culture.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now I feel like it's become so different from, like, authentic Mexican food.
So, everyone considers it, like, an American type of food, like barbecue or, you know,
yeah,
California rolls. It's like California rolls, where it's, like, kind of been, it's been brought from someplace completely different. And then it's, like, given an American name.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, well, we invented this.
And then you're like, I mean, kind of, but not really. Like, you didn't invent it. You just put stuff in it that they didn't have before Europeans happened.
Yeah. And, I mean, in the research that I did, one of the, I guess, articles says that Tex-Mex is really a mixture of, like, Spanish and Native American cuisine, which, yeah, I mean, it makes sense because Mexican food is not just Native American food now because it was colonized by Spain, and so there's a bunch of different flavors going on, and then cumin, I read another thing that said that cumin was actually brought from the Middle East, or no, I think it was North Africa. So, like, cumin is a very stereotypically Mexican, quote unquote, Mexican flavor, but it's actually not from the area.
Yeah, it's so interesting how, like, it's really hard now to, what with the history of, like colonization and then erasure of history, like, everywhere for a million reasons. It's like some places history is erased because of colonization, and other places the Christians were like, no.
Yeah.
You know? What if we set Alexandria ablaze? And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just as a rule with the, like, kind of globalization of cuisine and stuff now, it's sometimes really hard to pinpoint something as purely from one region.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I find it so funny when you type in fusion food into the internet, and it comes up with, like, Korean and tacos.
Yeah.
But, like, both of those things on their own are probably made up of, like, a bunch of different cultures and flavors and, you know, everything's all mixed up.
Yeah, and then they're also, like, you look up fusion food, and they don't talk about actually culturally significant fusion food.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. They're just like, what if you put sushi rice in an omelet?
Yeah.
And, like, mixed it up together? And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Isn't, like, that stir fry?
I guess. You're like, yeah, well, they did do that.
Yeah. It's kind of a little bit ridiculous.
I'm constantly eating things, and I'm like, oh my god, I have no idea where this is from.
Yeah.
And it feels, I mean, it's kind of cool, just, like, on surface level, you know? Because you're like, the world has become so intertwined that you can't ever be completely sure that what you're eating is purely from where you're eating it.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, it's really unsettling because it's so reflective of, like, how much people have interfered with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because, like, cumin coming from North Africa to Latin America isn't, like, the North Africans traded with Latin Americans kind of thing.
No, 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 no. The Europeans, like, brought those Africans.
It's like, hey, I have an idea, guys. What if we traded with South America? That's not what happened. It's, like, a really messed up history. And so you, like, bring all these beautiful flavors together in food, and it tastes amazing. And then you start thinking about what made that happen, and it just gets really kind of unsettling and very upsetting.
Yeah, no, the weight that food carries is, it's intense. And you can, like, go into this so much. You could probably write a thesis on a dish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just so much going on. It completely, like, that's what I love about food, is it doesn't lie. It tells you everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every single flavor in there can be traced back to something. And then it gives you the facts, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's impossible for food to, like, sugarcoat anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can't look at how Spanish cuisine influenced, like, Latin American cuisines, like, specifically the countries that they personally colonized, you know? You can't look at that and wonder how it happened.
Yeah.
Just the pure existence of that as a concept shows you what you need to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also, like, you know, with countries like Ireland, you know? Ireland was colonized by Britain, you know? And stuff like that. But you can definitely see the kind of the more privileged aspect of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because Ireland's food, their national dishes, the stuff that they really identify with, it's all meat and, like, potatoes and stuff like that. All of the kind of stuff that has always been there. So, you know, you go to Ireland and you eat a national dish and you know that what you're eating is at least from the Isles or Western Europe. And you don't really get that as much in, like, Africa or Asia mm-hmm. or the Americas anywhere.
I don't like saying that, you know, one culture has messed up another culture's food. But, and I know we're, like, mostly talking about, we're supposed to be talking about nachos here.
This is our introductory
episode.
Yeah,
exactly. With nachos. But wheat taco shells, wheat tortillas,
they make
drive
wheat
me
tortillas?
Crazy. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, like soft, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like the soft shells.
Yeah, like just tortillas
oh,
that are made out
like,
of
like
wheat.
The white ones that are just
yeah.
like round.
The white ones.
Yeah, exactly. With like a few brown spots
yeah,
on
yeah, and you're like, oh, someone made bread. Great.
I just don't think it, like, tacos with wheat tortillas taste as good as with corn tortillas.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's a completely different thing. It's a completely different flavor profile. Because the corn tortilla is, like, a different, it's just a different flavor.
Yeah. It's fantastic. But you know what does taste better with the bread tortilla? Is the European
flavor influence that people use to make tacos.
Yeah.
And then that tastes good. And you're like, oh, well,
mm-hmm.
it's tacos. But
mm-hmm.
it's not really. You just put meat with some spices in basically bread.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, a sandwich.
I feel like people aren't, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like people aren't too passionate about hard shell tacos. But I'm also very passionate that they drive me crazy. It's impossible to eat. The taco filling just falls out.
Like crumble around. You know what I do really like though? I like the tostadas.
I love tostadas.
I can tear up a tostada.
They're so good.
But I do have a really because I like the crispiness. You know the contrast in
texture. You know with like the soft meat, which sounds kind of gross. And you know like beans. And then like a crisp, fresh, jalapeno.
Yeah.
And then the crispiness of a hard shell taco.
Yeah.
But if I really want that, I can just make nachos,
mm-hmm.
which will not crumble apart when I'm trying to consume them.
No, nachos are so good. You just put anything you want on them.
Yeah.
Like if you're making them yourself, you know.
Which we've accidentally cycled back to the actual topic.
Yes. Yeah. nachos, yeah. I love nacho. You know what I can't stand though, actually, that I did end up doing some research on while I was reading? Was I cannot stand stadium nachos. Like
I've
baseball
never
nachos.
Had them before, and the ones like, with, like, I don't go to games.
That really thick orange cheese. And like they put pickled jalapenos on there.
Yeah.
Which is a virtue. But they also don't put enough pickled jalapenos.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just this, like, really thick wave of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good.
Huh. I am a sucker for cheese.
I can't make myself cheese. I can't do cheese, man.
Yeah, people either hate it or, I feel like, are enthusiasts.
I'm so specific with cheese. I can't, like, I can do white cheddar mac and cheese.
You can't?
I can. And then I can do, like, you know, queso at a Tex-Mex restaurant.
Yeah.
I really like, is it queso fresco or queso fresca? Queso fresca. Yeah,
is
that
the
one.
Best
so good.
Ever.
And I like going into the kitchen when, like, we're making tacos at home and I'm, like, crumbling the cheese.
What my family does, we, like, cut them into, like, these rectangle,
like, long
rectangle pieces,
mm-hmm.
and we shove them in our attic bus.
It's
just so good. I could eat a block of queso fresco by itself.
So good.
I think it's better than cotija, honestly.
I would agree. Yeah.
Because cotija's, like, harder.
Yeah,
right?
and I want like, I have bad taste in my mouth about it because I once bought cotija at the store, and
I think it might have been off because it tasted like a very upsetting Parmesan.
Oh, you know, there's actually another kind of cheese that's similar to queso fresco, but it's not similar at all.
It tastes like if queso fresco was a blue cheese. It's,
No.
but like super salty. It's not fun. I don't like it.
I don't do cheddar, which is what that's what the like regular cheddar, which is what the most of the cheese on the nachos like in stadiums is. It's
Really?
this really thick pseudo cheddar kind of melted thing. I don't know, dude. I'll take you to a baseball game or something and I'll buy you some nachos 'cause it's bad.
I might eat them up, honestly.
Well, so the woman whose article I read from the New York Times, she said that the first time she had, so she's from Mexico City, and the first time that she had nachos was in Texas at a movie theater, and so she always thought of them as like American food, you know, not really Tex-Mex, just like Mexican flavors on tortillas. So it's like Mexican stuff, but then if you just like gave it to the Americans and told them to make something
Well,
with
I
it.
think there is a difference between saying it's like quote unquote white people food and American food, because those people, those Tejanos, were American. They were just they're, you know, they were of Mexican descent. So technically, yeah, Tex-Mex is American food. It's just
It's
not
not
white people
my kind of American
originally.
food. It's not like hamburgers and hot dogs on the streets of New York type food. It's like, you know.
It's just
Yeah. Stadium nachos are white people food. I will not take criticism on that. Like they took nachos and they bastardized them. It was terrible. They like, you know, and it's so weird because it's exactly what the original one it was. Because it was this place in Mexico. Could you pronounce that for me, please?
Piedras Negras,
Yeah.
Mexico.
Yep. Black stones. Very cool.
That's the birthplace of nachos?
Yeah. Yeah. These
Wait, what?
military wives came in to a the Victory Club. And this guy, his name was Ignacio? Yeah?
Ignacio? That
Yeah.
sounds right.
Yeah, and so his nickname was Nacho, right? And they came in and they were like, "Can we have food, please?" But their chefs weren't there. So the guy didn't want to like mess up these like women coming into his club. So he like ran into the kitchen and grabbed like a bunch of tortilla chips and Colby cheese, which is an American cheese, Colby cheese and pickled jalapenos, and just kind of like tossed them about on the tortillas and then threw it in the oven. And the women just really liked it, and they kept asking for it, and then it became really popular there at the Victory Club. And then he moved and he opened another restaurant, like a restaurant of his own. And like I guess they just got so popular that somehow they like moved, because this is really close to the western border of Texas. And I guess they just kind of like gradually moved north into the US, and then people started throwing stuff on there because like they didn't start with like meat on them, you know? And yeah, and it's really weird because what we eat on nachos usually with like the like if you put like steak on them or ground
Steak on it?
yeah like
I've never had that before.
like what they put in carne asada tacos, you know, like pulled
Oh,
apart steak,
okay. I thought you
not
meant
like
like
a
a steak
slab.
and then he like sliced
I don't think that would be good.
it.
It'd be like
No.
too thick to
I
consume.
mean, I'm sure some fancy chef somewhere has
Probably. Maybe
there's
there's
some
someone
premium
who
tacos out
like
there.
slices up
Or
really
nachos.
thin pieces of steak and then lays them about on a
Like
tostada.
oils them up and then
Yeah.
like
And
like
then
what you do with like cucumbers.
yeah, and you know like those tortilla chips that are kind of like looped, you know?
Oh yeah,
Like
like
two
the
corners kind of
tostadas.
bend together. Yeah.
I know
And he
tostadas.
just like slides the steak into that hole. He's like, "There it is. These are my nachos." But like that stuff wasn't on there. It was just this guy who wanted to make food for someone, but he didn't have anyone there who actually knew how to cook. So he just like threw stuff at the plate. And it wasn't a lot of stuff. That's kind of cool. I didn't know that
it was created in, or its birthplace is technically Mexico.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. That sounds about appropriate. You said this food was made in Mexico? Okay, what if we make it really popular in the United States and then pretend that we invented it?
Yeah.
But then, like baseball nachos.
Mm-hmm.
They are also just, like, tortilla chips and, like, melted cheese and jalapenos.
Yeah.
You know? But it's so wrong. It's like you take one of those, like, distorted lenses on the computer that, like, sometimes we play with and put, like, a plate of nachos, but, like, actual nachos in front of it. And then baseball nachos popped out. But that was by this guy, Frank Liberto. I don't know how to, like, pronounce that last name. He's white.
Oh, Liberto. I mean, if he's white, he's dead.
Liberto.
But if he's, you know, white, then Liberto.
I think he might have been Italian. Because he was in the Mafia.
Okay.
He was like a restaurateur in the Mafia. And his most significant claim to fame. His most significant claim to fame as a Mafia boss is, yeah, I made the nachos that are really famous right now.
The nachos.
I made the nachos. You know those nachos that you eat at the... Whoa, I was about to say the Hawks. You know those nachos that you eat at the Yankees game?
Yeah, I made those.
I made those. But he did. He made those.
I wonder why they, like, nachos and a lot of Tex-Mex has gotten so popular in, like, sports stadiums.
Yeah.
I mean, specifically. I guess it's such an easy food to eat. That may be part of it. Yeah. But I'm sure there's another history.
I think it's about, like, the handling of it, you know? Like, you know, like, it can, like, I can hold a taco, you know? Or I can have, there's a plate of nachos and just throw them in my face. But, like, I can't sit at the Braves game with, like, an enchilada and be, like, cutting it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there probably is a reason, you know? Like baseball is when it really took off, you know? Because nachos have always been pretty popular at movie theaters, you know? Mm-hmm. But no one really eats tacos.
Yeah.
In movie theaters, no one does that, you know?
I mean, tacos are so messy. They're delicious.
Yeah.
But they're messy. That's why you have a double tortilla.
Yeah. But, like, stadium nachos, you know, stadium tacos. They have, like, the wheat tortilla and, quite dry, like, beef.
Oh, that's the worst.
And then, some sour cream, some cheese. And I'm like, there you go, it's a taco. And you just eat it because you're at the Braves game and you need food. But it's so weird because baseball food, like, baseball Tex-Mex, you go in there and no one would choose to eat that stuff, like, in general. And I mean, maybe someone would, but I have a hard time believing that anyone would purposefully consume that outside of the... the stadium.
No, it's because you're distracted.
You don't have to look at this, like this basically glob of cheese that you're about to put in your face, and you just have to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really bothersome.
I feel like that kind of cheese can be, like, the butter at movie theaters for popcorn. You can't think about it.
Yeah.
Like, if you think it's
good, just eat it. Don't think about it.
There's, like, that one guy who's like, hey, what's in this? Everyone hates that guy.
Yeah.
So, like, there's three rules for nachos, right? Like, it's not nachos unless you have tortilla chips, cheese, any kind of cheese. Just put cheese on it.
Yeah.
And some sort of, I was about to say chile. Wow. Some sort of chili pepper, you know? So it could be, like, it could be habanero. It's usually jalapenos, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But have you seen, like, people make tater tot nachos?
Okay, that actually sounds good.
You and I have strangely different tastes for food. For people who are so similar with their food tastes,
well,
we have different tastes.
We like the same food types.
Yeah.
But we, like... on the micro.
Yeah, but I'm like, really? Really? Fried potatoes with nacho stuff on top?
I'm like a sucker for just greasy comfort food.
That's fair.
You know?
I really like, I like a big plate of French fries. I'm also not a big tater tot fan in general.
Yeah, I like tater tot.
A big plate of French fries with, like, melted queso on it.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, jalapenos and little chunks of bacon.
What if they made, like, a Tex-Mex-style poutine?
Ooh. I do have a confession about poutine, and it's that I don't like gravy on fries. Huh. I can like gravy on fries. Okay, so the only place I've ever had gravy on fries. Yeah. But the only place I've ever had gravy on fries is Vickery's. And like
Vickery's?
Yeah, it's,
I thought you just mispronounced Victory.
No, it's Vickery's. Yeah, there was a guy there who like every time I went into the restaurant when I was little, he'd tell me to draw something. And then he'd say he'd get it as a tattoo. And my parents were like, oh, haha, he's going to get it as a tattoo. And then the next time we came into the restaurant, he had actually gotten it as a tattoo.
Oh, my God.
So the less flattering drawings I did, he put somewhere that wasn't his arms. But he did get them all. I was pretty impressed.
Wow.
But, like, I don't know. I like nacho fixings on fries. I don't like gravy on fries.
I love nachos. Like, it's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
You can just keep
eating. Because the flavor is so, like, it's such an umami flavor. You have everything there. You have the savory, you have the sweet, you have, like, sour, you have, like, kind of the groundingness of the meat and the beans. And then, like, the refreshingness? I don't know. Of, like, the vegetables. I don't know. It's pretty perfect, honestly.
That is my favorite thing about Tex-Mex and actually most Latin American food in general is that there's so much stuff in it.
Yeah.
But you can taste all of it.
And it's so balanced.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. Like, if you put, like, a bunch of meat and a bunch of beans in front of me mm-hmm. and you, like, toss them together like a salad.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to tell that there are meat and beans in there because mm-hmm. the flavors are so distinct, but they blend together in such a beautiful way. It just works.
It does work.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, nachos are perfect, basically. They are. Our message.
Our point for this podcast is that nachos can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Except for the stadium ones. Those get really soggy because like the cheese kind of like sits on there. It's mm-hmm. really greasy. But like
it's like a wet blanket.
Oh, that's a terrible image.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, sometimes I'll like the last time I got baseball nachos, to be fair, wasn't actually at a baseball game. Mm-hmm. It was at a Hawks game. And I got it and I like it felt like someone had just, like, sprayed the center of the dish with water for, like, 20 seconds. And they're like, yeah, it's good. It's so bad.
Yeah.
But
okay, good nachos are
good.
Can do no wrong.
Good nachos are good.
Yeah. Bad nachos are bad.
Mm-hmm. There's an important distinction.
Yeah.
Which I think you figured out by the time this has gotten to this point.
Yeah.
But they're so good. So that's this edition of Fusion Feasting. We were going to make nachos, but my chorizo was expired. Whoops. So, but it's okay.
We'll make them another time.
Yeah, we can make nachos and just pretend that they were for this day.
Yeah.
This day.
What's next? What's our next episode?
Our next episode is Chicken Tikka.
It's Chicken Tikka? Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Oh, it's gonna be so good. I actually have that at home, so it should be
hallelujah.
Not expired. It's in, yeah, it'll be good. But it's like, yeah, we're gonna talk about, it's actually gonna be pretty interesting, because there's gonna be, like, the Pakistani-Indian split, and British colonization, and stuff like that. And also a lot of talking about the guy who is considered the official inventor, because he himself is from Pakistan, but he invented it, quote unquote, in England.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our next topic.
Yeah.
And we hope to see you there.
Bye.
Bye.